Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be so glad that you hung out with me today, that you stayed with me today through the end of this hour, because we have a really, really special treat for you. Austin Kiplinger, ladies and gentlemen, the son of the founder of the Kiplinger publishing empire, which is still a small business, still a family-owned business, ladies and gentlemen, after all these years, is with us. Austin has been a member of our Brain Trust since 1998. He was first on the show. We celebrated his 80th birthday in 1998, and he's here today and we're celebrating his 90th birthday. And he's the editor emeritus of the Kiplinger Washington Letter, which is also celebrating his 85th anniversary. We got a birthday and an anniversary to celebrate here. Let's get him in here, because he is truly a national treasure, and I consider him to be a witness to a century. Mr. Kiplinger, welcome back to the show.
Hello there, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy it. Now, we have a date for 10 years from now.
That's right. We're going to celebrate your 100th birthday.
That's
10
right.
years from now, and I promise you.
Put it on your calendar.
It's already on the calendar. I appreciate it. I like that attitude. I sure do. Mr. Kiplinger, you were here 10 years ago, and we celebrated also the 75th anniversary of the company that was your father founded when you were only five years old.
And
he founded it in 1923, in September of 1923. And I'm actually looking at a copy of the very first Kiplinger letter. It was called the Kiplinger Washington Agency on that day in September 1923.
Yes, and we started as a business information service, and the letter came along as kind of an extension of that, and really we've never changed our approach to things. That's just what we're doing. We're still doing it.
Right.
Still doing business with the same old stand.
Now, I want my audience to hear you talk about the origins of this small business, what your dad was doing, what made him think about going into this. We were so fortunate, Mr. Kiplinger, last Friday, my wife and I were in Washington, D.C., as my audience knows, and we were fortunate to be invited to your birthday party. We got to see you. It was a wonderful affair. Everybody was so happy to see you and to be around you. Of course, you go into the office all the time, and so they see you all the time, but it was so cool to be able to eat some cake with you and spend some time. But I couldn't get over how transfixed everyone was as you were waxing eloquent about times past. Tell us about the origins of the company.
Well, my father was a reporter, and he worked for the Associated Press, but he got assigned to certain places in Washington called the Treasury, the Federal Reserve Board, the Department of Commerce, the Federal Trade Commission, and he found out that a lot of fascinating and important things happened there. You know, people focus on the White House, but the real guts of the job are going on in these other places, and he found that was where things were really happening, and so he started this information service to give people an answer on what was going on. Not political, not trying to push for this party or that party, but just what was going on at the work table.
Mm-hmm.
And he found it was very useful, and he started the letter as an offshoot.
Well, and you now he wanted to bring information from across the country back to the power brokers, so to speak, the bankers and all that kind of folks, those kind of folks in Washington and other cities. Now, I remember Friday night you talked about looking through some of the ledgers of the early days and what he did and what he charged for different things. Do you remember? Would you tell that story again?
Well, he would get queries from somebody in Cleveland or somebody in Pittsburgh or somebody in Chicago for some export license or pricing of something or other or regulations on something, and he would charge him anything from $7 to $20, and I guess if he had a really big job, he might charge him $40.
Wow.
But you've got to adjust that, of course, for changes in price level. He wasn't working for peanuts exactly, but he was working for regular working wages.
Well, you know, back in those days, $7, I remember my grandfather talking about working all week long for $7.
Well, I'm not going to tell you how much I got when I was my first reporting job in San Francisco, because you won't believe me.
Tell us. I want to know.
$16 a week.
What year was that? What year was that, Mr. Kiplinger?
1940.
$16 a week. He's come
a
long way.
I got a big raise, I have to tell you. I got a 50% raise overnight.
Hold on to that thought. We got to take a quick break, folks. 20 till, right back with a national treasure, Mr. Austin Kiplinger. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. We're celebrating the 90th birthday of a great American, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Austin Kiplinger, one of my favorite members of the Brain Trust, the editor emeritus of the Kiplinger Washington Editor, the Kiplinger Editors organization, which is still family-owned after 85 years this week. Congratulations on that great milestone, Mr. Kiplinger.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's grand to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And folks, Mr. Kiplinger, you just continue to amaze me. You're 90 years old. You're ramrod straight. You Friday night when I saw you, you looked like you just stepped off of a photo shoot for GQ magazine. And you're telling me now that this week you're leaving to go to Madagascar?
That's correct. I'm going on Thursday. Going to fly to France, and then I'm going to fly down across the Mediterranean and across Africa and out to the Indian Ocean.
And just to see the wildlife and see what's going on. I've seen programs on that. I love wildlife, and I watch all that I can, and on television, and enjoy it whenever I'm around it. But that's a very unique island, isn't it?
It is. It's one of a kind in the entire world, and that's why I'm going.
Well, I hope you have a good time.
Well, and I'm look, sure I will.
And you promised to give us a report on this when you get back, right?
I'll give you either 4 minutes or 40 hours.
Okay. we'll do something in the middle there. I want to come back and I called you a witness to a century. I used the term from George S. Seldes' book, Witness to a Century. He wrote a book about his own life, and he certainly witnessed the 20th century. You've witnessed the 20th century. You've been fortunate to be able to see the first 10% of the 21st century. As you look back on where we've been, where we've come from, what are your thoughts as you reflect on your life and the last half of the life of the United States?
Well, I still continue to marvel at this country because, you know, we're not a separate culture and we're not a race and we're not a tribe. We're a system of government that values the individual. And so, well, sometimes we argue about how much we want to give to government and how much we want to keep to ourselves. We still are an individual governmental system. And we're a system that I'm convinced is going to eventually be the standard for the world. But it's going to take some time, believe me. You know, we're back in a kind of a tribal era in the Middle East.
Yep.
When you deal with Afghanistan and Pakistan and Uzbekistan and all those countries, those are tribal relationships.
Yep.
And we are not. We're a great big umbrella. We're a great big tent with some standards of behavior and standards of operations, and
right.
If we all live by those standards, it doesn't matter where we come from.
But in the current age, Mr. Kiplinger, we can't disengage ourselves from those regions, those neighborhoods. We have to be involved. We're involved with those people for a number of different reasons, not the least of which is some of them actually have.
Well, more so than ever before, we really are one world. Of course, Wendell Willkie wrote the book about that. It's credited to a lot of other people, but Wendell Willkie, who was running for president in 1940 against Franklin Roosevelt, wrote the book called One World, and it's very prophetic. And that was, 60-some years ago.
Yeah.
And it still reads well. But it's getting more true every day.
What are your thoughts on how the United States should be dealing with those people who are quite different from us? And as you say, they're more tribal, not like us. Their view of democracy, if they have a view, is going to be different from ours. An experiment we have going on right now, literally, is in Iraq, isn't it?
Well, and in Afghanistan.
Yes.
Gradually, I think the searchlight is going to be shifted over toward Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
because that's where the metal hits the pavement, and you've got the Al Qaeda and you've got the Taliban and that's where a lot of the action is going to be. But I tell you, I think that the next president, we try to figure out whether we want to vote Democratic or vote Republican, but the next president is going to have the same bunch of problems.
Right.
And despite all of the oratory, the next president's going to have to deal with, Social Security and health care and immigration, foreign
and
trade.
And all these market challenges we're having right now. What are your thoughts on the marketplace right now?
Well, it's in turmoil, but it's not in as much turmoil as we like to think. It's the financial world that's in the turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of a plain talk fellow, and I don't mean that as a political slogan, but I think the financial world has thought up a lot of terms that just kind of mask the underlying truth about things. You know, you hear about instruments, and you hear about vehicles,
right.
and you hear
right.
about derivatives, and you hear
right.
about this, that, and the other. They're all just synonyms for borrowing and lending.
Right.
And if you can get behind the terminology, you can kind of analyze what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Is this? Some people have said. Some knowledgeable people on this show have said that this is the greatest financial crisis since the Great Depression. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think whether it's a crisis or not, it's a change in the way of doing things, and it may, in the long run, be a good thing to get it out of the culture of Wall Street, quote-unquote.
Right.
Get it out to the Bank of America.
I want to get your thoughts on that when we come back. I'm also going to ask him his thoughts on the future of small business in America and the world. I'm looking forward to that. We're celebrating Austin Kiplinger's 90th birthday right here on the Small Business Advocate Show and the 85th anniversary of the company that his father founded, the Kiplinger Editors. Stay with us. 10 till. Right back. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't want to miss a second that we don't have to with our good friend, Mr. Austin Kiplinger, celebrating his 90th birthday and the 85th anniversary of the Kiplinger Letter, the company that his father founded back in 1923. Mr. Kiplinger, again, happy birthday to you and happy anniversary to your company.
Thank you ever so much.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we've already got our schedule for 10 years from now. Of course, we're going to talk to you in the meantime, but we're going to do your 100th birthday and the 95th anniversary of Kiplinger in 10 years. Mr. Kiplinger, when we went to the break, you said something about getting some of the capital control out of Wall Street, maybe across the country. You used the term Bank of America, who obviously is in the news right now because they bought Merrill Lynch. What do you mean by that? What advantages would happen from that?
Well, it seems to me that we've had a period when the financial world has kind of hoodwinked a lot of people by use of terminology that is technical And it means something to the financial world, but it doesn't mean much to the average person. Now, this this word derivative, then they use the words vehicles, and then they use the words instruments. And those are just words that hide the real truth, as I was saying before, the basic facts of borrowing and lending. My grandfather, who was a builder and a carriage maker, believe it or not, he didn't believe in a mortgage on the house. He thought that was sinful. He thought anybody who borrowed money was really going down the tubes. Well, now, we've changed our perception of it a little bit, but at the same time, I think it's time to get back to basics. I think you've got to think about borrowing money and lending money and having collateral and paying it back and working and get rid of all of the terminology. So if we can kind of get rid of, sweep some of that out of the way, we can look at the real facts and the real problem.
Can the United States maintain its superiority from as the home of capitalism in the world?
Well, I don't think we have to be the dominant force. We have to show the way, and I think our system is a good system, and I think that others are going to adopt it. Look at China. China was a communist country, and it's still operating partially on that basis.
Yeah.
But they're getting very pretty capitalistic, aren't they?
They are.
And, well, they do it on a different scale, and they don't do it with the individual rights that we take for granted in this country. They're still coming our way.
Right.
And I think the world at large, look at India, they're doing the same thing.
Right. Those countries, one of the things that's happening in those countries that's making me very excited is, and it's something that we've been doing here in the United States for a long time, is they're building a class, a sector of small businesses that's really helping their countries grow.
They certainly are.
What are your thoughts on small business today?
Well, everything starts small. And if it's successful, it gets bigger. There's nothing wrong with bigness, except that it gets very clumsy. If you get too big and you get too far removed from the operations,
from
you
the
get
customer.
Too many layers.
Yeah.
In between, you forget what the job is all about, and you start playing with other things. But, you know, in our organization, we're very small, and we're all in one place, and we can walk down to the floor below and talk to somebody.
Right.
And I believe in management by walking around. I really do.
Yeah.
And I'm a primitive in that respect. But it still works, I'll tell you.
MBWA is still a great management style, and I think we're all going to have to. We all need to get back to that a little bit more. I agree with you, Mr. Kiplinger. I've got about a minute. Your last thoughts as you celebrate your birthday and your anniversary. What do you think?
Well, I think if we keep our eye on the essentials of what it is we're doing, and by the way, productivity in the United States is still improving, and that is the basic, that's the thing that makes the economy and civilization move on. If we used to do, when we were primitive, we had to spend about 90% of our time finding food. When I was first reporting agriculture, it was one-third of the employment ranks of the American government or the American economy were devoted to food. Now it's less than 8%.
Yeah.
And that's progress.
That's progress. Yeah.
Now we may say that it's too bad that more people don't live on farms, as I do, and look out the window and see the soybeans. But the fact of the matter is, the more you can do with each hour of your labor, the more progressive you are. And this country is still leading the world in productivity.
You've helped remind us that we still have a lot of blessings here in the United States. Mr. Kiplinger, thank you for your time. Thank you for your service to us. Thank you for your witness to this last century. And we still consider you to be a national treasure, and we thank you for all of that.
Pleasure to be with you, Jim.
Happy birthday. Safe travels on your trip to Madagascar.
Thanks very much.
I got to go for this hour, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? That was pretty special.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.